Thank you so much. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the Gospel according to Matthew. Now the 13th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. You know, sometimes you want to read a Bible story to your children before they go to bed. And just being honest, sometimes parents get really, really tired. And so if you find you are really, really tired, but you still want to keep up reading a Bible story, turn to Matthew 13, verse 33. This is the whole story. Another parable he spoke to them, "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened." And then you can tell your children to go to sleep. I would prefer you stay awake, at least for a little while. Jesus is preaching to a crowd of people. He is really seeking to get message across to a few. And so he begins to speak in parables, the mysteries of the kingdom of God. He goes out in a little boat there on the shore, and he explains about the gospel. He tells them while the gospel is open to everyone, it's seen in a sower casting out seeds, that not everyone is going to respond and not everyone is going to be saved. The reality is there's a problem. The problem is not with the sower. That sower is Jesus. It's not with the seed, not with the word of God, the message, the gospel of the Lord, but with the soil. The problem is with people that harden their hearts. And if you came in thinking that you are hard, then there's nothing that's going to get through to you, and you're not going to listen to anything that is said, I ask you to soften up just a little bit. Let God get through to you. Or there are some so tied up in the world that the message just doesn't get through. And I know you're so busy, but can you just push other things aside? And the problem is those that just won't accept Jesus fully. They just play around with Jesus. He tells of a man that had good seed and planted it in a piece of land that he bought. That man is Jesus, and the seed is good, but an enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and those tares grew up. And the purpose of the devil was to use false doctrine and false believers to tear down those that are true so that their gospel message wouldn't go out. He wanted to pervert God's crop. In that parable, Jesus tells us we don't have to worry about people being judged for their sin because God's going to take care of that. Ungodly people are going to be judged. Those lost tares are going to grow up, but they're going to be harvested and they are going to be burned in the fires of hell. Jesus himself spoke about a hell to avoid and a saved people that will be gathered into the barns of glory one day. What a blessing that's going to be. Then we move to the mustard seed, and Jesus warns about the devil, and the devil wants to pervert God's church. He's doing a good job of it. While a tiny mustard seed of faith can grow and end up being a huge herb bush, the devil can corrupt, and the devil can bring down with false doctrines, and the devil can plant his demonic birds in the trees. So what's next? They're listening. They don't know what's going to come out of his mouth now. We've been sowing seeds. We've been having demonic birds in the trees. What can we do now? And in verse 33, then he spoke another parable. A lady takes leaven and hides it in three measures of meal until that whole group of meal is leavened. You know, I have noticed there comes a time in your life, if you live long enough, when people want to mess with your diet. And I will cut to the chase on that. Let me help you out with your diet. If it tastes good to you, don't eat it. If that hasn't happened to you, praise God. Wait a few years. When I think of this lady and I think of her working with flour and making a lump of dough, my mind goes to biscuits. You know, not biscuits that come in a cylinder that you break open and put on a tin, but handmade, kneaded, baked, and buttered biscuits. Yeah, I like sausage gravy too. Someone said you take one of those biscuits as big as a cat's head. In fact, they're called cat head biscuits. And you take one of those biscuits and you take a giant bite out of it and you have a total eclipse. Well, after you eat it for a little while. Now, I like bread. I really do. But there comes a time when bread becomes your enemy. This lady puts yeast into flour. Yeast is the thing that makes the bread grow. And if you continue to eat bread, it'll make you grow in all the wrong ways. I believe many commentaries have actually gotten this passage wrong. I've heard many sermons that I think really go off base here. You know, they say this woman represents the church and that the leaven is the gospel. And you put the gospel in the dough and the bread is the lost world. And you put the gospel there and it grows and grows until the whole world gets saved. Now, let me tell you, I am thankful for a proclamation that says you should put the gospel into lost people's souls. But I don't think that's what this is teaching. I believe God has another message here. You see, the Word of God doesn't teach that the whole world is going to get better and better and better until everybody is saved. The Bible says, the road is narrow and there are few that find it. The Bible says not everyone will be saved. Your experience tells you that that's not right. Look around you. Do you have the idea that the world is getting better and better? Do you feel more comfortable walking all the streets of Columbus today? Have things gotten better? Why, there are communities that you don't want to drive through, much less walk through, much less live in. Now, there are moments that are wonderful. There are moments when God moves. There are moments of revival. There are moments when individuals get better and praise the Lord for it, and we pray for that, and we expect that to happen. But for over 2,000 years, the gospel has been preached, and today there are more lost people than ever before. Fewer people are going to church. I'm so thankful you were here. I hope you'll come back and I hope you'll bring friends. But in Columbus, Georgia, we find fewer and fewer people going to any church. We're a population in our metro area of about 300,000, and yet on any given Sunday, there are less than 40,000 inside a church of any kind. We are in a day when we see things getting worse, not things getting better. When we see people turning away from God, not turning to God. I believe this parable teaches a warning that Satan wants to infiltrate the church. He wants to sow his little bit of leaven, and that leaven will spread, and he will destroy the church from the inside. He will get churches to abandon God's word little by little. It may be little things at first, things that don't seem to matter. But they will go away from God's word. They may go away from God's word and have women preach. Hey, listen, women know how to talk. They've got a lot of experience. And women can preach. But God's never called a woman to preach. That's what the Bible says. It may be they go to where they're saying, doesn't matter whether you drink alcohol or not, it's just fine, you just do it, you go ahead. As long as you're drinking alcohol, what's marijuana going to do to you? Just go ahead with that too. And it may be they take that turn. It may be that they go off in this route. They go off and they say, well, you can be saved by what you do. You can just do a lot of works and get your way to heaven. Just keep on working. Keep on doing good deeds. You're going to do more good deeds than those other people are. And as long as you got more good deeds than somebody else, you're okay. Little by little, they move and they take to the point that Jesus doesn't matter. And they start leaving Jesus out, and they don't even talk about Jesus on a Sunday. If you can go through a Sunday in a church and you don't hear the name Jesus, find another church. And when the focus is off Jesus, oh my, all is going to fall. For example, friends, what about last Christmas? I heard more television talking about Christmas than I believe I have for years. I saw some movies. Yeah, Hallmark movies. And they were all about Christmas. But you know what they weren't about? Jesus. They have found a way to exploit Christmas and talk about Christmas and Christmas trees and Christmas decorations and family gatherings, but no Jesus. There is no Christmas without Jesus. But little by little, they chip away and throw God's word away. So let's look at this loaf. Verse 33, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven a lady took and hid in a tree in 3 measures of meal. Now the crowd is listening. Most of them are Jews. They would have gasped. They would have known something is very wrong here. This woman is not preparing breakfast, you see. They would have known that. This woman is preparing a meal offering. She takes 3 measures of meal. That's far more than an individual would have in a home. And she prepares the offering. But we're going to look at the meal itself. In Leviticus 2:5, and if your offering be a meal offering, baked in a pan, it shall be a fine flour, unleavened, mingled with oil. The unleavened meal offering is a picture of worship. It's a picture of our communion together. In Genesis 18 is the first time we see this 3 measures of meal. The Lord came down with his angels and they were going to fellowship with Abraham. Abraham thought this is a big deal, and he said to his wife Sarah, prepare a meal and prepare 3 measures of meal. Well, Sarah prepares 3 measures of meal. They fellowship. God fellowships with Abraham, and they do so over these 3 measures of meal. No leaven is mentioned. When the children of Israel left Egypt, they had a feast, that Passover meal, and in the Passover meal, they had unleavened bread. No leaven in it. They were to bring a meal offering to the Lord regularly, and they would. They would prepare 3 measures of meal as an offering, and it was to be unleavened. So unleavened bread is a symbol of fellowship with God. It's a symbol of the worship and fellowship that we have as believers. 1 Corinthians 10:17, for we being many are one bread. Think of the church. Think of our gatherings. What a wonderful thing it is that we can come together as God's people. What a wonderful thing it is we can come together. We come from different places. We come from different houses. We come from different backgrounds. We come from different educations. We have different bank accounts. We have different looks. We have different ages. And when we come together in God's house to worship the Lord, we are one bread. We are God's family fit together. So unlikely, but pulled together, and our pulling together is through one thing, that is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I have been able to travel a lot, and in traveling, I meet people, and you know what? I meet family members everywhere. I meet people that know Jesus, and because they know Jesus, they're in my family. Now, I may not know who they are. I don't know, may not know much about their life, but if they know Jesus, I find a warm welcome. And it's a blessing that God calls us together. In Acts, the first church placed a great importance on worshiping together. They would come together from the world they were in, and they would worship. They would worship to start off with in houses. And they would come together and they would worship. And oftentimes there would be a meal mixed in with that worship. That means they were Baptist. They like to eat and they like to worship. They like to be together. They like to fellowship together. They would meet and then they would scatter. They would scatter and then they would come together and meet. They would come from their work. They would come from their obligations. They cherished the opportunity to get together. Oh, how we should cherish the opportunity we have to come together. We have a church we can love. We have people who love us. And what a great thing that is as we come together. That's what they did then. That's what we seek to do now. We meet on Sundays and then we scatter to our different places. We come back on Wednesdays. Maybe not all of us, but we scatter again, and then we come back on Sundays. And when you miss, when it's family and you miss, you feel like something's missing. It's important to come together. I'm so thankful that we're online. I'm thankful that, I'm not thankful for COVID, although God can use anything for the good, and God brought some good out of COVID. And one of the things was we found a way that we could be online. We can be watched across the world. That's true. On any given Sunday, in any place in the world that you can get online, you can get Northside Baptist Church. And if you miss the Sunday, guess what? If you miss the Sunday, you can go back and you can see the service. And if you're scratching your head on Tuesday saying, did he really say that? You can go back and check it out, and that's what you can do. And I'm thankful for that. When you can't be with us in person, you can worship and you can get God's word, and that's special. But I want to be very clear, it's not the same. I am thankful for it. It fills the gap when you must be away. But each of us needs to be with other believers. We need the gathering. We need the fellowshipping. And we need the worshiping with others. It's important. No wonder God commands us to gather together. In Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling, the gathering, the churching of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day approaching, that means when it starts looking like the end times. Hello? If you're looking around, have you ever thought that Jesus coming again must be pretty soon? All the things look like it. The signs are there. And whether we are in the last days or not, you're in your last days and I'm in mine. These are the only days we get. We need to be in God's house as much as possible. That means Sunday school and worship and Wednesday nights. They're all important times for us to show up. I know some people can't come all the time. Some people have to work. I understand that. Some people are sick and that keeps them out. But when you can come, because when you're out, we miss you. When you're out, we miss the blessing of you being here, the encouragement of your being here. Those who come, bless us, and you miss the blessing that we would give to you. And that doesn't count what God has for you in that time. So the loaf is our communion together. The loaf is our time of worship. Then we get to the lady. Verse 33, the kingdom of God is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal. This lady represents the devil and his purposes. Please understand, ladies, God isn't against you. The Bible is not down on women. Sometimes the Bible talks about men as being good. Sometimes it talks about men as being evil. And the same is true of women. Remember, God calls his church of all believers the bride of Christ. And God elevates women. In fact, the Bible elevates women. So in this passage, take no offense. And don't take any offense at this, but when I was reading through this passage, studying this passage, I knew there was a problem when I saw this lady. In other parables, the Son of Man, Jesus, is involved. He's sowing seed. He's buying a field. He's preparing a perfect place. Here's a lady. Nobody's going to think she represents Jesus. She does an evil thing. Those in that day that heard this story would be angry at what this woman did. She puts leaven in the meal to corrupt the work of God. The devil's not trying to destroy the church. Oh no, the devil's trying to join the church and take us off course. She did this on purpose. That leaven didn't just fall off a shelf and fall into the meal. The Bible says she put it there. If you read in other texts, it says she hid it there. It was a secret move. That's why God tells us of the tares. He's telling us that the devil's trying to deceive us. He's trying to put the false things out there. And this woman is being very deceptive. The devil wants to deceive you. The devil wants to get you away from God. The devil wants to get you off course. The devil wants you to think that you don't have to do anything to tell anybody about Jesus. The devil wants you to think you don't have to share the gospel. The devil wants you to think it doesn't matter how you live. He wants people to think they are saved when they're not. He wants people to think that they can work their way to God. He wants people to think that God has already decided who's going to be saved and who's not, so it really doesn't matter what you do. He wants people to think anything they do is okay. If it's okay with you, just go ahead, bless your little heart. That's what he wants. The devil deceives people. And he wants to deceive you, and he wants to deceive the church. Ephesians 6:11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." That word wiles is from the Greek word methodia. We get our word method from it, or methodology, or Methodist. Let me be clear. I am not saying Methodist or of the devil. I did not say it. I am not saying it. You know, Methodist came from a man by the name of John Wesley. I wish they'd have stuck with John Wesley's teachings. John Wesley was an evangelist. John Wesley called people to Jesus. John Wesley had a firm belief that God's work was to be carried out methodically. And so they're called Methodist. But as the Methodists wanted to do things methodically, the devil wants to do things methodically. The devil has his methods, and by those methods, he seeks to destroy the work of God. This woman was deliberately doing something that she was not supposed to do. She hid her actions. She did it in secret. She did something sneakily. Let me tell you, the gospel is not supposed to be hidden. The gospel is not supposed to be a secret thing. The gospel is to be proclaimed. There are some that'll tell you that you need to befriend people and you need to be their friend for years. And after you're their friend for years, one day you'll earn the right and you can tell them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, that's not what Jesus did. You know, I think it's deceptive to try to be luring people in and not being honest with them that you want them to change their hearts. I think we need to be truthful with people, not putting them down, but trying to lift them up, letting them know that we want them to know Jesus. We want them to be saved. We want them to go to heaven. We don't want them to go to hell. When the rich young ruler came to Jesus, Jesus didn't say, "Let's go have lunch and coffee and we'll talk a while and in a year or two you come back and I'm going to tell you how you get to heaven." No, he told him. He told him very clearly what he needed to do if he was going to come to God and follow him. And what does the Bible say the rich young ruler did? He went away sad. Some people say, well, Jesus shouldn't have talked to him that way. No, Jesus does not deceive people. If you want Jesus, you need to turn from your sins. You need to turn to Jesus. You need to accept him as your Lord and Savior. That is the only way you can get to God. That is the only way you can be saved. Anything else is deception. And if I meet you for 30 minutes, that 30 minutes may be the only time I see you on the planet. If God leads me to share the gospel, I'm not going to hold back. I've had occasions when I was with people for a very brief amount of time and God just opened the door and I didn't want to go through it. But I'm going to tell you about the times I did. and when I forced myself and I opened my mouth and I shared the gospel, I was on one plane ride. We were flying into Middle Tennessee. And you fly in the middle of Tennessee and the planes don't come just down and on the runway. No, they come crooked down and then they straighten out right before they go to the runway. I was with my friend Ray Newman. It was his first plane trip. And I had not had too many. We're going down into that airport. He is as green as he can be. On the other side of me is a young man that's not too much a better color. But he's the one I'm talking to. And in that time, I had an opportunity to tell him about Jesus. He prayed to receive the Lord. Thank God we landed safely. My friend Ray would have told him those things, but he was afraid if he opened his mouth, something else would come out. God gives you those little moments sometimes. Don't waste them. We have to share the gospel when we have opportunity to share the gospel because we may not have that opportunity at any other time. Don't deceive people. This lady represents Satan and his corruption. And then there's the leaven, and we'll have to do this quickly. Verse 33, the kingdom of God is like leaven. The woman puts it, and all the loaf is leaven. In the Old Testament, in the New Testament, leaven is always negative. It is always evil. The Jews looked at it as a bad thing. Now, I told you earlier, I like bread. I really do. I'm trying to stay away from it a little bit now, but I like bread. And the yeast and the leaven is put into the bread to make it rise. Now, if you have problems staying away from bread, hang with me. I'm going to help you a little bit. Do you know how bread rises? I mean, do you know the science of how bread rises? Did you know that yeast is actually a fungus? And you take that fungus and you put it into the flour. Now, that fungus is activated by water or oil. And so when the water or oil hits the fungus is hungry. And so the fungus begins eating up all the sugar that's in the flour. And when it eats the sugar in the flour, it becomes bloated. It produces gas. And excuse me, but it passes the gas. And that forms a little bubble in the dough. And it causes the dough to rise. Now, want a biscuit? No wonder when Paul was talking to the church about their stance away from God and how they were getting away from God, you know what he calls them? He says they are puffed up. Leaven was not to be in any meal or bread offering. When the Apostle Paul challenged the immorality at the church at Corinth, he said, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. You've heard a bad apple spoils the whole barrel, you know, and it's that kind of thing. He is saying, deal with this sin in your life. Deal with the sin in your church. Get it out, or it will spoil the whole ministry. It will spoil your whole testimony. Get it out. Deal with the sin, or it will deal with you. Matthew 16, Jesus warns about three types of leaven. Three types of leaven. There was the leaven of the Pharisees. The Pharisees are legalists. They had all the rules, and it's all the works. Do all the works, you'll be fine. Do all the works, and it's all about the works, and it's not about Jesus. And they are following all the rules. They were proud, hard, cold-hearted people following all the rules. They weren't leading to God. They were leading away from God. Jesus says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs. They didn't want to touch, you see, anything to do with the dead, and so they would whitewash the tombs so they wouldn't accidentally stumble into it. They looked beautiful on the outside, but inside there was rotting flesh. That was the life of those that were just living in legalism and in the do's and don'ts and the rules that they made up. Then he said of the leaven of the Sadducees. Well, the Sadducees were the liberals. They didn't believe in anything spiritual. They didn't believe in miracles. They didn't believe in the resurrection. And if you've been here for a while, you know that's why they were sad, you see. One time Jesus told them, you do err not knowing the scriptures or the power of God. You know, when you leave the scriptures, that is a liberal. When you take away from God's word, that is liberal. When you take something and you do something that is more in line with ungodliness, that is following a liberal path. The liberal takes the spiritual out and it leaves just an empty shell. And you know what? Churches just become clubs, not churches. And that has happened and is happening. And then in Mark 8:15, beware the leaven of Herod. The leaven of Herod is license or materialism. It is going with the flow. It is adapting to the culture. Whatever is out there, you bring in here. Oh, we don't want to offend anybody. Let's do secular music. Let's do things in a way that won't let anybody know that we're really a church. They'll be able to come in and feel like they're in a club, and it'll be great. Let's just be like the world, and it makes worship not worship. It makes it just another event. It makes it like going to a concert or going to a ball game, and you know, not a work of God. Oh, be careful. This church is set aside a place for worship. Right here at Northside Baptist Church, we rejoice, we fellowship with one another, but when we come together, we expect a word from God, and when God touches our hearts, it's thus saith the Lord, and lives are changed and transformed. That's what we expect in God's house. And when you come to God's house, and you are moved and you are drawn closer to Jesus and you love Jesus more and you love your brothers and sisters in the Lord more, and you leave that way, you know you've worshiped. The church needs to be a place where Jesus is exalted. And if Jesus is exalted, we've got to do something with the leaven. Paul said you got to get rid of every bit of leaven. You know, once a year the Jews would clean out everything. They would clean out everything. They would clean out their pantries. They would clean out their cupboards. They would clean out under their beds. They would clean out every corner. What were they doing? Getting rid of leaven. Making sure the leaven was all out of the house. Purifying the house to live in, to worship God. And so they would purify every corner of the house. This could be where spring cleaning came from. And they would move to get all the leaven out. I want to be very clear. If Northside Baptist Church is going to make an impact on Columbus, Georgia, we need to get the leaven out. And I'm not talking about cleaning. I'm talking about dealing with our own hearts. I'm saying if there is sin in your life, get it out. If there is sin in your heart, you know, stop it. Move toward Jesus and away from the sin. Get the sin away from you so that you might be what God wants you to be. It may mean you have friends you can't hang around with anymore. It may be you have places you can't go to anymore. But it's more important to be who Jesus wants you to be than to follow the path of the leaven and what this lady was trying to do and leading people away from God. That's what the devil wants to do. And so, believers, today I beg you, ask God to search your heart and to search your life and see where you are not living as God wants you to live. And that's what I am praying for too. And if there is something in your life that doesn't need to be there, get it out. For a loaf to be without leaven was a picture of Jesus who is without sin. We need to become more like Jesus. And the only way to become more like Jesus is to know Jesus. And if you've never invited Jesus to be your Savior, that's exactly what you need to do right now. You need to come to Jesus. God's moving in your heart. God's challenging some of you to get the leaven out. You're a believer. You know you're saved. Great. Maybe you need to come to the altar and just rededicate your life to the Lord and ask Him to help you to get away from the sin in your life, to forgive you, cleanse you, and use you. And if you don't know Jesus, would you just come and say, I want Jesus? He'll come into your heart and save your soul today. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank you for this time together. We ask, Lord, that you would move in our hearts, that you would draw us to decisions that we need to make. Father, some here have never met Jesus. Let today be the day. Believers all across the room, Father, listening online, with leaven in their lives, sin in their lives, Father, that you want out. Let this be the day that they ask you to forgive them, Father, to cleanse them, and to use them. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. You come as we sing.